Welcome to the Soul Urge Podcast, a show for women who are ready to trust their own inner wisdom and step more deeply toward what they really want. I'm your host, Jennifer Hooper, certified life coach, meditation practitioner, hypnotherapist, and energy healer. I help spirited and ambitious women grow their confidence and reclaim their abandoned dreams of health, wealth, and freedom. Let's dive in. Hello, friends. This week, my guest is Jaynan Sung, wellness and spiritual coach who's a nutritionist, certified breathwork instructor, and Reiki practitioner. And in our interview, she talks about breathwork. That's really where we focused, and the healing benefits that come from breathwork. But before I share the interview with you, I thought I'd share a little bit about what's been going on in my world, what I've been challenged by, how I'm approaching it. I thought it might be kind of interesting to hear that, you know, if you're struggling with something, you're not alone. We're all going through something. And what I'm going through right now is I'm working on unplugging even more. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you might have heard my episode on inviting spaciousness into my life. And that's really the practice of adding intentional free time into my day. And so what I'm doing now is expanding that idea even more, really adding free time, downtime, meditation time, intuition time into my life. So I'll tell you how I've been doing it. I started by making a long list of what's important to me. And at the top of the list, my top two are peace and ease. And so once I became clear about that, then I was able to ask myself, how can I invite more peace and more ease into my life? Now, I did this by getting really quiet and getting still. And actually, this is an ongoing conversation, if I'm being perfectly honest. It's not a one and done conversation that I'm having with my intuition. It's an evolving conversation. And what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling from my intuition is to get outside more, be outside. So I keep going outside with my little fold-up camp chair and dragging it around to different spots around my house, really looking for shade because it's getting rather toasty in southern Arizona right now. And then I sit and I get really still. And sometimes I just stare at the mountains or I listen to the birds. And in the stillness and in this quiet, I realize that I had created or invited some chaos and stress into my life. And it just wasn't what I wanted. Can you hear my dog? He's cheering me on. I realized that I had added too much onto my plate. I have this old pattern of believing that I can pull off almost the impossible. And I had scheduled these webinars at the end of the month. And as I sat there in my solitude, I realized that I had not scheduled them or planned them from an aligned place. I was rushing the process. What I really needed to do was to allow more time and space to let the content marinate and flow and be fun and creative rather than pushing and fighting and working hard to get them out in the world just based on some arbitrary schedule or arbitrary dates that my ego rather than my intuition had come up with. So in an effort to break this old pattern, which, by the way, I think I said I was on to myself. The truth is I got coached on this. I didn't actually see it. So anyway, in an effort to break this old pattern, I pulled the plug on my webinars. I have postponed them to an unknown date in the future. Now, do I worry about looking flaky or unprofessional? Yeah, I do a little bit, but not enough to not make this new decision. The webinars are going to be amazing when they're ready, and they'll be created through peace and ease and service. And I'll know the time when I know the time. So this is new for me. I'm savoring this experience. I'm learning from it. I'm trusting that everything is okay, that all is well. So I just want to invite you to think about what you really want. What's important to you, and how can you invite that into your life? Will it require making new decisions? Maybe, maybe not. Either way, how can you be okay with it? So that's what's been going on for me and my life this week. I'm also working on spending more time on Instagram and sharing what's going on over there. And if you'd like to connect, I invite you to follow me at Jay Hooper Coaches. I'd love to connect with you, see what's going on in your world, and share what's going on in mind. Now, on to the episode with Jaynan Sung and breathwork. And breathwork offers yet another tool that you can use to connect with your intuition, invite peace and ease into your life. So let's do this. Hi, Jaynan. How are you?
I'm doing lovely. How are you
today? I'm great. It's so good to have you here. I'm so excited to dive into this episode. We're going to be talking about finding empowerment through the breath. But before we dive into breath work, I want to ask you a little bit about your story. I heard this line from a movie on Netflix last night, so I'm going to use it. You were born and now you're here. What happened in between?
Oh, a whole lot of stuff.
All right, give us the highlights.
The highlights. Okay. So I'll begin by saying that I grew up in a very spiritual household. So everything spiritual is nothing foreign to me. But, you know, as you get older, you try to distance yourself from your family or from your mother, because I didn't want to be like my mom. So it took me quite a while to actually tap into that side of myself. It's not until like my mid-20s that I was beginning to being okay with being more spiritual. But the thing is, as I was growing up, I would always see stuff and I would hear things. And I knew it wasn't me, but I wasn't quite sure what it was exactly. Here, let's do this. Okay. And then one day, after breaking up with this guy that I was like head over heels for.
There's always a guy, right? There's always a guy.
It always happens. I started meditating. Something in me just told me, meditate. So I started practicing. And then that's when the big boom happened. I was sleeping and I felt myself leave my body. And I was like, I'm thinking it's the astral world. And I see two roads, a blue one and a gold one. I hear this deep, loving voice saying, okay, right now you're at a crossroads. You could do what you usually do, which is on the blue road. Nothing much will change in your life, you know, same cycle. Or you could trust and go on the golden path. We're not going to tell you what's going to happen, but we guarantee you it's going to be fun. And I just sat there for 2 seconds and I was like, you know, I'm tired of the same stuff. Let's go with the road unknown. And as soon as that happened, like things in my life started to change drastically. Like crazy. So that's my story.
That's amazing. I got full body chills as you were saying that. I was thinking, yeah, take the gold road, the gold road. Sure. So what started to change for you?
So I guess, first of all, my gifts started to come in even stronger. I am very, very clairaudient. So I hear things all the time. And just a lot of synchronicities started happening to my life. Like I met this woman, wasn't the best situation, but it taught me a lot about trusting myself and trusting my own wisdom. And then I'll tell you this story. So it was so clairaudient that in November, I heard something special is going to happen on January 10th. Okay. That's all. And then I was like, what's happening on January 10th? I heard laughs. A month later, my friend who's also clairaudient, she was like, let's go wedding dress shopping. I heard to do that with you. At the time, I had no prospects. I was not dating. I was by myself. And I was like, okay, fine, let's do it. I met this guy. He calls me And he's like, your mother told me that you could teach me tarot. And I'm over here like, I don't know much about tarot, but okay, let's talk. I don't know what you need. Well, a week later, we said, I love you. And he came to visit me. Yes.
A week later.
And I was living in California at the time. He was in Maryland. He came to visit me 2 weeks later. We were going to go to Yogananda's meditation center in San Diego on a Saturday. It was closed. So we're like, we'll come back the next day. The next day, we go to the meditation garden and I hear he's going to propose. And I was like, what? And he's like, follow me. And he proposes. And we're at the beach and I look at the date. Is January 10th.
No. Oh my gosh. I love that story. I love that story. Amazing. Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Oh my gosh. So can you tell people what you do? How do you serve people?
So your clients? I empower women to find their authentic self through breath work and just energy healing. So long story short, we all know that women have gone through the ringer in this world, and we've stepped into the Aquarian age, which is all about the divine feminine. And just, I always wanted to help women from a very, very young age. And going through my own personal history, I was like, you know, I've been through so much. But at the end of the day, I would learn a lot. How can I use that knowledge to help others? And that's when the magic happened. And I was like, oh, I could just do breath work and I could do some Reiki and just some channeling. And boom, that's what I do.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So let's dive in a little bit to breath work. And let's start with a definition. Some people may not be familiar with it. In fact, I'm not that familiar with it, although it did come into my, not my awareness, but into my experience somewhat recently, but I'll park that for now. But can you just explain what breath work is?
Yeah, definitely. So I practice pranayama, which is part of the yogic tradition. And by definition, it means manipulating your life force, aka your breath. So it's just being aware of how to work your breath in order to bring healing into your body, but also help you bring more consciousness to yourself as well.
Amazing. And so before I experienced breath work, I thought it might be almost like meditation or just taking some deep breaths, like the box breath, breathe in for a count of four, hold for a count of four, release for a count of four, and hold for the count of four. And it was nothing like that. It was nothing like that whatsoever. There was a lot of fast, forceful breathing through the nose, through the mouth, bringing it up, like you said, the life force through the body. And it was a new way to connect with emotion that I didn't know maybe had been repressing or was feeling. And I ended up in tears. Everyone else in the class was in tears. So tell us what's going on there, if you would.
Yeah, of course. So the thing with breath work, number one, if you're talking purely scientific way, it triggers your parasympathetic nerve, meaning it helps to bring relaxation to yourself, which makes you more able to connect with the traumas to able to release them. But on a spiritual level, it pretty much taps into your subconscious mind. And with breath work, just like with any other type of healing, it doesn't bring up things that you're not ready to heal. So whatever came up for you, that was spirit and your own soul telling you it's time to address this. And so when you bring up all the life force energy, it kind of clears. Think about it as a clearing of all that stuck old energy that's weighing you down to bring in more beautiful life force energy for you.
And that's exactly what happened. I don't want listeners to think that it was traumatic, because it wasn't traumatic at all. It was incredibly freeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sounds like you did Breath of Fire, which is very, very powerful. Correct me if I'm wrong.
We did do that. It was a 5-day class. We didn't do it every day, but we did do that at one point.
Yeah, because there's different types of breathwork techniques depending on what you need. And a lot of times when you think of breathwork, either you hear of the breath box breath, which is very calming, or you hear about Breath of Fire, which is very, very powerful. But there's stuff like in between that's more relaxing, that you could come into a more emotional state. It might take a little bit longer, but it helps you to relax first. So it's kind of like, what's that name of that technique? Floating breath, for example. It helps you to like come into yourself. However, it may take a little bit longer than if you do like Breath of Fire.
Okay, that's so interesting. How does breath work? Can you take us a little bit deeper and explain how the breath work helps people heal? How does it affect their healing journey? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah. So have you heard of somatic therapy?
I have not heard of somatic therapy.
Okay. So somatic therapy pretty much says that we carry our emotions within our bodies. All the traumatic events is not only in our subconscious mind or our conscious mind, but it lives in our muscles, in our DNA, everywhere. So breath work is a type of somatic therapy where it forces you to use your body, your vessel itself, to clear out all the stuck energies within your cells. Because science has recently found that a lot of your traumas are not only yours, but they stem from ancestral DNA. So they're in your mitochondria. So a lot of people are like, well, if it's my ancestors, I can't take care of it. But that's the beauty. You can. And through somatic therapy, you're able to tap into those cells to help to release it. And breath work, it literally does, what it does is bring more CO2 into your bloodstream, which also helps to clear it out.
Wow. Fascinating. Fascinating. And it makes a lot of sense what you said on a couple of levels. Number one, our bodies are the one witness to our entire lives. Every experience we've ever had is stored in there somewhere. So of course it makes sense that physically those traumas, those emotions, those experiences are there, not just at, like you said, the unconscious, but at the physical level as well. Mm-hmm. And my area of expertise is in neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy. And we heal a lot of ancestral trauma that way, as well as past life trauma, stuff that we bring in from experiences that we've had before this lifetime. And so I'm just feeling a lot of connection or a lot of similarities maybe between your work and mine. Mm-hmm. Just a different modality that can work together to offer even deeper healing. That's so exciting.
Exactly.
That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. So what type of healing does breath work help with? Could you give us some examples?
So if you're thinking on the physical plane, if you experience high blood pressure, for example, it helps lower your blood pressure. It helps with a lot of cardiac issues. If you have asthma, certain breathwork techniques can help with actual asthma. If you're thinking of more of the mental plane, depression, anxiety, PTSD, all of the mental quote-unquote illnesses, it helps to alleviate. They say alleviate because it can't say heal, but to alleviate the symptoms of depression, anxiety, PTSD, and all those things. It actually has a long list of things it could help with, but it's just a few key ones.
Or can you share with us a story or an experience of a client that you've had and how they were helped? I'm sure you have many.
I do.
Let's see. Give us a few.
I won't use names, but this one client, she came to me. And she came to me, I'm also a nutritionist. So she came to me for her nutrition services. And I was like, we're not going to deal with your food. there's so much going on here. Let's actually talk. Mm. And a lot of her issues stem from subconscious memories that she can't tap into. When I was working with her, I could hear like she's been through a lot, but she's blocked it off from her actual memory. So what I did was, let's do some breath work to see if the things are coming up. Because of course, I don't want to influence her by telling her what I heard. I just said, we have a lot of work to do.
Right.
So the more that she practiced, she realized that she was actually holding on to trauma stemming from her childhood, where her parents had to leave her in a different country where she's originally from, because financially they couldn't afford to have her with them. Mm-hmm. So she had these attachment issues and she already had mother issues. So all of that was combined together. But when she was doing more breathwork therapy, she was able to realize this, number one, and number two, actually cry, because she is not a crier.
Right.
So release.
Amazing.
And of course, there's always healing to be done, but that was a huge chunk for her to actually release. And she was like, you know, I was very skeptical at first, but when I actually did it, I saw everything and I saw how powerful it was. So that was, she was one of my favorite clients. So wow. I was very, very proud of her for that. Yeah, one.
What a great story. Now, do you typically work one-on-one with clients, or do you do groups? Do you do both?
So as for now, I do one-on-one, but I am developing programs for groups, because I think the more I'm able to work with people, one-on-one, I'm very limited. So group work is very passionate for me. So I can't wait to actually develop and produce and execute the group project.
Yeah. So tell us what like a typical breathwork experience or session is like.
So I always start off with speaking with the client, seeing what's going on. I tap into their energy to see whatever they can't remember, to see what's actually the root cause of the issue. And then I get them to calm down, relax, play some music. And we start off with the basic breaths. So pretty much awareness of your natural breath, then learning how to breathe with your stomach, because that's the proper way to breathe, not from your chest, it's actually from your stomach. And then teaching them different techniques, basic techniques like thoracic breathing, which is basically breathing in your chest area, and then clavicle breathing, which is like up to your clavicles. And then after that, I try to see what type of technique will actually work best for them. And that's whatever I do. And then after that, have them like sit down, feel the energy that surrounds them, see whatever brought up for them, have them journal, and then we could talk.
Oh, amazing. So it sounds very collaborative. You're using your gifts, your spirit, your clairaudient gifts, and you know, walking the client through an experience that they're going to have, but then they've got their own work to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I really believe that we are all powerful. And if I gave you all the answers, I would do all the work for you, so you actually won't learn anything. So to be honest, I may know everything, but I just give you bits and pieces for you to actually uncover everything yourself.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So Janan, you mentioned that you are also a nutritionist. So what is the interplay between breath work and nutrition, if at all? Or do you want to tell us about the nutrition component of your work?
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that when we think about nutrition, we solely think about calories or what we put into our bodies. But we don't realize there's a deep connection between our emotions and what we eat and how we eat. So the clientele that I usually work with typically are either emotional eaters or binge eaters, because they're unable to process their emotions. So they use food as a way to cope. And I particularly see this a lot with women of color.
Okay, no kidding. So can you add to that? That's very unfamiliar to me, because I'm not a woman of color, definitely. But I'm curious I'd love to know more.
In my studies, when I had my master's in nutrition, I was very interested in eating disorders and women of color, because I'm a woman of color and I had an eating disorder. I was a binge eater. And when I was doing my research, I couldn't seem to find any literature about Black women and eating disorders. Whatever I found was Black women being compared to white women when it came to their eating and behaviors. But it always said that Black women were immune to eating disorders. They basically were saying it's a white woman disease, right?
Okay. That's just, and I call bullshit right from the get-go.
Thank you.
It seems like it's a human disease.
Exactly, exactly.
Have anything to do with it.
So I was like, this does not make sense. I know so many Black women with eating disorders, and I know it's not like scientifically proven, but there's definitely a causation and correlation and all that. So I kept on digging and digging and digging. And it's not until recently that in nutrition world, they finally admit that eating disorders are not white women diseases, but Black women, especially Black teenage girls, are 50% more likely to develop an eating disorder than their white counterparts.
Oh my God, that's a huge statistic. That's huge. Yes, so
that's huge.
So, you know, of course, my mind wants to know why. Like, why are they saying this isn't, you know, affecting Black women at all? It's a white woman's disease, but yet more Black women are affected.
Yeah. So when it comes to literature out there, it's obviously based out of racism, but because there's a different standard of beauty in the Black community, we tend to like more curvaceous women. So a lot of times what happens in these studies is that they always compare. It's really important to understand how to read studies properly. And when you compare a group to another, that does not mean that other group may not have an eating disorder. They may have it less likely, but people will read it as they don't have it. So a lot of the studies were not happening on what was actually going on. And even in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, it was just labeled a white woman disease. But to further this, it's because binge eating was not considered an eating disorder. I don't think it is still, but it's getting there. And binge eating basically means when you eat, you kind of lose control of yourself because you're repressing your emotions so hard that you just lose your control. So a lot of Black women would either experience binge eating or binging and purging.
Right.
Bulimia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It just wasn't studied. And there's also a huge history of medical gaslighting within the Black community. So there's no trust in the Black community with the doctors because there's been like testing and all these things done. So of course, we'll be kind of, you know, not wanting to do the studies because we don't trust the studies. Right. So it's been very disheartening. However, it's getting better. There's lots of work to be done, but it is getting better.
Oh, that's so interesting. It's funny because I'm a white woman and I don't trust the traditional medical community. So I can only imagine. I can understand why you don't either.
Yeah.
So do you help some of your clients connect the dots between the breathwork and nutrition? And are you combining those two forces together?
Yeah. So the way I operate, I don't count calories. I don't believe in that. I barely focus on your nutrition, to be honest, because to me, it's all about your emotions and your thoughts and how they all work to help you change your behaviors. So the biggest thing that I've always noticed is if you have an eating disorder or if you emotionally eat, there's an emotional component that's very, very strong and you don't want to tap into your emotions. So as a curious being that I am, I'm like, let's find out the root cause here. And so when I do that, a lot of people are not in touch with their emotions and they don't know what's the root cause. So what better way to find out is to have them relax and do some breath work. So I say when I first work with them, I'm going to push you very gently. I'm still going to push you and you'll be uncomfortable. But I best believe that this is going to help you uncover why you do what you do.
Oh, that's amazing and much needed. I mean, your clients and mine can be very similar in that regard. A lot of people don't have experience or comfort expressing or feeling or acknowledging their emotions. And therein lies so much trauma and so much repression and is the root cause of so much struggle.
Oh, yeah.
We're not taught this stuff.
You know,
my mother always told me, you know, basically, she didn't say it this bluntly, but repress your emotions in case you hurt someone else's emotions. Like, don't hurt someone else's feelings.
That's very interesting because for me, and I know a lot of women of color hear the same thing, it's to be strong. Mm. Don't cry. Be strong. And so in my mind, I heard that so much growing up. I used to be a crybaby. And my mom always telling me, don't be strong. You have this. Don't let them see you break. And it came to a point where I didn't think I had emotions. I didn't know what excitement was because I was repressing everything.
That's right.
So it took a lot of work. I used to see a hypnotherapist that helped me a lot to tap into my feelings. And that's why I noticed the correlation between my emotions and binge eating. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, it's time to get down to the root. It's time to tap into your emotions because feeling the emotions sounds like a scary thing for many people, but it's all in your mind. It's easier than you actually think.
Yes.
You make it all up in your mind. And once you get past your mind, you're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
That's right. It's the shortcut.
Yes.
It's the shortcut. It's actually feeling all of those emotions, letting them out. It's unfortunate that we have so many cultural, societal, you know, educational messaging, parental saying, don't express them. Don't repress them. Be strong. Don't hurt other people. You know, don't be a baby. You know, men have these messages very strongly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So. And even though I don't work with men, toxic masculinity is such a thing that's why there's so much violence.
Right.
Because if you don't express your feelings, what's going to happen? You are going to lose your ish. And you're going to take it out, either hurt yourself, hurt somebody else, and use violence. And I'm not saying that it's okay that people do this, but I understand why. Because when society tells you you can't express yourself because you happen to be a man, what kind of BS is that?
Totally agree.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Who said that you have to be strong and unemotional to be a man? Society. But I don't know why. Why?
I know.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah. You and I are on the same page. So, Jainan, what do you have coming up for you? What are you excited about? What are you offering clients these days?
So I'm very excited that for this month, I am hosting a free breathwork workshop. Called The Healing Power of Breath. It's about 45 minutes. So I give like a quick intro about what breathwork is. But the majority of the time is actually a breathwork practice. So it's been awesome. I love doing it. And yeah.
I love that. And when you say this month, you mean April of 2022?
Yes.
Just in case someone listens
yes,
to
April
this
2022.
In, I don't know, August.
Well, I hope to have at least once a month free workshops because I think a lot of people want to try it, but maybe too afraid to, or don't want to loosen their purse strings. And I'm like, you know, let's not be gatekeepers. Let's give it for free and see what happens.
I love that. I love that. And if someone is listening to this, who knows, 5 years from now or, you know, 3 months or a year, where can they reach you in case they want to know what's going on at that time?
So you can always reach me on Instagram at moonlotus.co, on TikTok at moonlotusco, or if you want to go directly to my website, it's moonlotusco.com.
I love that name, Moon Lotus. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, so Moon Lotus actually came to me during meditation, and moon represents the feminine, everything beautiful, dark, just moving with the waters everything that you need to go inside of yourself to rediscover who you are. And when you tap into yourself, you start blooming like the lotus and gaining the wisdom from everything that you've been through. So it's just the combination and the undulations of what it means to be a woman.
Oh my gosh, goosebumps on that too. I love it. So as someone who did experience a breathwork class, I did a 5-day class that my mentor offered for free. Didn't know what I was getting into, but loved every minute of it. I think it's well worth it. I encourage all of my listeners to go check you out, try your free breathwork class, have the experience. There's nothing to lose and just so much to gain.
Exactly. Yes. And I look forward to seeing you there.
All right. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. I look forward to staying connected with you.
Thank you for joining me, Jennifer Hooper, for this episode of the Soul Urge Podcast. If you're ready to connect more deeply to your own inner knowing, visit thesoulurgepodcast.com and download the Soul Urge Roadmap. It's my free guide designed to put you on a path toward the health, wealth, and freedom you've always wanted. While you're there, leave a review. It's the best way to let other listeners know about the show. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back next week.